All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning. Sure to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Kislev, Sammy and Malka Esterson, for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drashos this month in memory of their parents, Yitzchok Leib ben Aaron HaKoin, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch Avram, and Zhinda Bas Henach Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah and the family Enuchama. We thank our week of learning sponsor, Jack Bennett, for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drushas this week in memory of First Sergeant Rafi Zengvil, who served as an infantry soldier in the Givati Brigade and was killed by Hezbollah in southern Lebanon on January 25th, 2000. We thank our Dafyomi sponsors in the Schutzpah of Refuah Shleima for Dr. Aviva Weisberg, Ruchama Aviva Bas Shrinachana, and for Rachel Yehudis Bas Tova Gittel. We'll say with that, let us begin. So what I'd like to do this morning is thank you for accommodating a little bit of the earlier start today. So thank you for accommodating a little bit of the earlier start today. So what I'd like to be able to do is, in Eretz Hashem, just begin with a little bit of halacha lemaisa. So I ran through the daf yesterday a little bit quickly. And I'd like to just to spend a few moments to close this. At least you walk away with the halacha lemaisa from yesterday's daf. So I will say, just remember again, yesterday's daf, and the truth is the daf before as well, so I mean the daf from Wednesday as well as from Tuesday, focused a lot on the concept of standing in one rishos and doing something in a different rishos and the restrictions on that. So I just want to quote to you, this is the Shulchan Aruch, in Shin Nun. So just I'm going to read to you two quick seifim in Shulchan Aruch, and that will close out the sugya. Omid adam b'rishus hayachid u'motzi adol rishus harabim, u'metaltal sham chafatzim. So a person could stand in one rishus, in this case his example is a person could stand in rishus hayachid, and ultimately again extend his hand into the rishus harabim, and move objects around there. Now the Shulchan Aruch here gives a very important qualification to this halacha. She'inam tzrichim l'makom shu'omid. You can only do this with utensils that you don't need in the place where you are standing. So for example, if I'm standing in Rosh Hashayachid, I could manipulate and move utensils in Rosh Hashayachid as long as those are not utensils that I need in the Rosh Hashayachid. We'll say, of course, the logic being, because as long as I don't need it, there's no concern that I'm going to come to move it from one domain to another. So that's caveat number one. Caveat number one is only applies to utensils you don't need in the domain in which you are standing. Caveat number two, Obilvat shel yavirim arba amos. Of course, caveat number two is, you can't move it more than dalet amos in the Rosh Sarabim. V'lo chashinan shem yavim elav. We're not concerned you're going to come to take the utensil to you. Kevan shenim tzrichu lo b'makom shu'omi. Since you don't need it in a place where you are standing. Hilchach mutter. So we'll say this goes now to yesterday's daf. So that's the first principle. That's from 2 days ago. Principle number one is you can stand in one domain, move an object less than dalet amos in another domain, provided that you do not need the object in the domain in which you are standing. What's a good? So we'll say, when we first see this, we wonder, why does anyone need to do this? So this goes back to yesterday's daf. Hilchach mutter lamor b'rishus harabim, litol mafteach b'rishus hayachid v'leftoach shem. I'll say, where does this come up? I'm standing in the public domain, and I want to unlock a door in the rishus hayachid. But in order to unlock the door, I have to be metatal, I have to move the key. So can I stand in one domain, move an object in a second domain? So which the Shulchan Aruch says, yes, you can stand in rishus harabim and move a key. So therefore, that is halacha number one. Halacha number one is that you could go ahead and stand in one domain, move an object less than dalet amos in another domain, provided you do not need the object in the domain in which you are standing. Where does this come up? We'll say yesterday's daf, opening doors. You could see a metzias where you'd be standing in one domain, want to open up the key or the door in another domain, which would require you to go ahead and move the key. So again, the Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter as long as halacha lemaisa, you're moving the key less than dalet amos. And I will say the assumption is the key is not something you're going to bring into your domain, right? Why not? Because the key is necessary in the domain in which the door is situated, not in the domain in which you are standing. That's one. Next, Avaloyamod b'shul sayachid v'yotzi yiroshol shesarab. Now we'll say, what can't you do? You can't stand in a sayachid and stick your head out into Rosh Sarabim and drink there. So we'll say this was 2 days ago, we had this Gemara. So you can't stand in one domain and drink in another domain. Ella, imkin yachnis rosh of Ruben l'makom shu shosa. Because we'll say, unless of course you move your head and the majority of body to the domain in which you are drinking. We'll say, now the logic is very intuitive. Essentially, what the halacha says is, you could stand in one domain and do things in a different domain, as long as there is no concern you're going to move objects from one domain to another. So if you're drinking, if I'm standing in Rosh Sarabim, and my head is in Rosh Sayachid, and I'm drinking there, there's absolutely a concern that what? I'm going to bring that drink with me back into the domain in which I am standing. Unless, of course, I'm standing in one domain, but the majority of my body is extended into the next domain. Then under those circumstances, where we are confident that you'll finish drinking where the majority of your body is, and you won't transition. Fine. So we'll say, so ultimately, the Shulchan Aruch then goes on. One last case, then we'll close out the two last cases. Lo yamod adam b'rishus haradam v'yashti. So we'll say, so that's halacha number one. Dealing with standing in one domain and utilizing objects in the next domain. Next case we had, which was from 2 days ago. What about urinating from one domain to another? So here the Shulchan Aruch says, lo yamod adam b'rishus haradam v'yashtin o yorak b'rishus hayachad. A person should not stand in Rosh Sarabim and urinate or spit into a different rishus, right? Into rishus hayachid, o bekarmelis, o ipcha, afilu im hotzi piyam asu l'chutz. We'll say, this is true even if the aver extends into a different domain. We'll say, this is actually very interesting. They're talking about from urinating from one domain to another. So we'll say, ultimately, again, that's not situated from where the actual aver is situated, but rather again is focused on where your bladder is. Right? So ultimately, if your bladder is in Rishus Hayochid, and ultimately you're urinating in Rishus Harabim, even if the urine is literally exiting your body in Rishus Harabim, halacha lamaisa, that's called an act of otsa, since the urine is uprooted from the bladder and ultimately extends out. So that's halacha number two. Don't urinate from one domain to another. Good. What about spitting? So we'll say this is the last case. Roko shenit lash befevu muchan lazarko. We'll say, what about saliva, which has accumulated in my mouth and is ready to be expelled? Ready to be expelled? Yesh misha omer shelo yelich dalat amas b'shusaram achi yarok. So there are those who say that really you should not go ahead and walk more than dalat amas in Rosh Sarabim before expelling it. So that's the third case we're both saying. Now the Mishnah Berurah comments on that case. He says, it's not just that if it accumulates. Remember, you know, both say the Lashon Gemara used of nishapech. Nishapech means literally you swirled it around in your mouth. So the fact that you have saliva accumulated in your mouth, that's not a problem. And so if you have saliva, and what the Gemara calls you swirled it, meaning so now it's really all made to be expelled, you should not walk dalit amis without first expelling that from your mouth. So we'll say, so those are our three halachas. Halachas concerning standing in one domain and utilizing a kin in a different domain, standing in one domain and drinking in a different domain, standing in one domain, urinating in another domain, standing in one domain, spitting in another domain, and halachas, five halachas. And halacha number five, ultimately again about walking around with accumulated saliva in your mouth. Good, I'll say, we'll stop the halacha over there. Now let's begin the daf. Thank you for accommodating the early start. That way, at least, although we went quickly in yesterday's daf, at least you emerge with the bottom line halacha lemaisa. So we'll say, let's begin. Another very interesting sugya today. Today's daf is Kuf Beis 102. We are starting again at the Mishnah on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis 101b. Says the Mishnah, Nagar sheyesh berosho glustra. We'll say, Nagar is a bolt. A door bolt. So we'll see again, we'll say that bolts were used in different ways for different things. So we'll say, so the Gemara says as follows, Nagar sheyesh barosha glustra. So if you go ahead and, so I just have to mention to the Chevron Zoom that it's, you know, it's the schos to have Jerry Walansky and David Kahana on, you know, for most of us here, we have not been zocha to get to Eretz Yisrael in many, many months. And I see Jerry's giving me his background that he's learning by the coastal over here. You can't see it, also. You can't see it on Zoom, but I can see it. The great schuss to look at this. Baruch Hashem. It's Wow. Okay. Halavai, we should be zochen mir Hashem to all be there together. V'karov. Shavu say. So the Mishnah says, Nagar sheish barosha glustera. So if you go ahead and you have a bolt, and the bolt has a glustera. Now, we'll say glustera is a knob. Thank you. Glustera is a knob. So we'll say you're going to see why this is significant in just a moment. Now, but pashtos, the role of the knob is that it allows you to go ahead and utilize the bolt. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer says that it's aser, meaning I will say that it's mukza, that it's mukta. But Rabbi Yossi says that it's mutter. And I will say, look at Rashi. We're going to do a number of Rashis today. I'm going to slow down the pace from yesterday a little bit. So Rashi says over here, Sheyesh barosho glustera, sherosho ava veroy lebuchno, velichtosh velishchok bo palpalin, vafilu hachi de toras klielar belazer oser. So we'll listen to this. So the idea of the knob is that the knob allows it to be used as a utensil. Allows it to be used as a clear. Well, you know, we did this in Smichas Chavar on Monday night, that so much of Hilchos Mukza comes down to the ability of something to be defined as a kli, as a utensil. So here, interestingly enough, because the bolt has a knob on the end of it, it has the designation of a kli. So therefore, again, as a result of that, Rabbi Yossi Matir Rashi says, the Torah's kli alav mishum gustra v'lo michsi kibon. I will say, now the issue over here in the Mishnah is not mukza. The issue over here in the Mishnah is bona. See, here's the issue. When you take a bolt, when you put a bolt into the door, so is that viewed as an act of building or not? To which the machlokis over here is like this. Rabbi Yossi will say, as long as there's a knob at the end of that bolt, so that the bolt has the appearance of a kli, of a utensil, then when you insert that into the door, into the threshold, that doesn't look like an act of binyan. Conversely, Rabbi Eliezer says that it is still aser. It is still aser. Now again, we'll discuss why that is in just a bit. So the Gemara says, Amar Bilaz, Rabbi Eliezer says, Maiseh b'knesset shebetiveria. There was once an episode in a shul in Tiveria, Shayu Noagin Boheter, that they used to go ahead and take the bolt and put the bolt in and out. Ad Shebod Rabbi Gamliel v'askeneva asru lahem. Also Rabbi Gamliel and the elders came along and asered this practice. Amar the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi says, no. Isser Nagubo, actually the story is just the opposite. There was a story of a shul in Tiveria where they actually assered the use of this bolt until when? Until Rabbi Gamliel and the elders came along and they permitted this practice. Okay, so the machlokes, so what exactly happened in Tiveria? So I will say, but bottom line, here's the machlokes. The issue of putting the bolt back and forth into the door on Shabbos, is that tantamount to an act of binyan? Right? Does that look like an act of building or not? That is the fundamental shayla. So machlokes, Rabbi Yossi ultimately says that it's mutter. Rabbi Eliezer says that it is aser. Says the Gemara. Here we go. Benitel ba'agdo kuli amalo pligi. Shabbos said, listen to this. Look at Rashi. Benitel ba'agdo kishu kasher v'talui b'chevel shel kayama v'ray l'talklo ayidei osechevel v'inon nifsech b'yadei kuli amalo pligi. I'm just reading next Rashi. The shari d'chevan the kasher v'talui yafe mucha milsa d'linol kai v'lo mechsik. Shabbos said, watch this. Everyone agrees that if the bolt is tied to the door, and it's tied with the type of rope that is strong enough that you could pick up the bolt by the rope, everyone agrees under those circumstances that the bolt is not problematic, right? That you could put the bolt back and forth into the door. Why, Rabbi Osei? Because since the bolt is attached to the door in such a permanent fashion, therefore, again, it does not look like you're building, but rather, again, it's clear that the bolt, ultimately, again, is a bolt. So it says the Gemara, keep ligi. So where does the machlokes come up? Top of kuf beis. B'she'ino nitol b'igdo. So we'll say, what happens if the bolt is tied to the door, right? The bolt is tied to the door, but it's tied to the door with a very thin rope, to the point that if you were to go ahead and lift up the bolt by the rope, the bolt would snap off. So on one hand, the bolt is attached to the door, but it's not really attached in a substantive way. Is that attachment enough to go ahead and circumvent the problem of binyan of bona? Because also remember again, what does attachment do? What attachment does is it already, let me take a step back. When do you transgress binyan, bona? When you add something onto a structure. But if bepashtos, the item was already part of the structure, then it could be argued that putting it back and forth is not really an act of bonus. So we'll say, going back to something we learned yesterday, for example, if you have a shutter on your house, let's say again, like our type of shutter, where the shutter is attached with a hinge. We'll say everyone agrees that halacha l'maisa, you could take the shutter, and you could, if you wanted to, you could close the window, open the window. Why? I was bona. It's not bona. Why not? Why not? Because the shutter is already attached. So we'll say, so everyone agrees that if the bolt is attached to the door in a substantive way, substantive as defined by a rope that is so strong that you could lift up the bolt by the rope that is attached, and putting the bolt back and forth is not problematic. But what's the machlokas? What happens in a case where the bolt is attached, but it's attached in a flimsy way? So the rope with which it is attached can't support the weight of the bolt. So Demar Savra came on the Ish Barosho Glustera Toras Klialav. So I'll say one opinion will say, well, listen, at the end of the day, since it has that knob on it, therefore it has the status of a kli. Because it has the status of a kli, putting it into the structure does not constitute an act of binyan. Umar Savra came on the Einunitl Beigdolo. And the other opinion says, no, what we look at ultimately again is how is it attached to the structure? If it's attached to the structure in a permanent, semi-permanent fashion, then it's not bona. If it's not attached to the structure, if it's attached to the structure in a more flimsy fashion, even if it has that bolt at the end of it, ultimately, again, it is not considered attached, and therefore, again, it'll be a problem of binyan. So we'll say, salocha l'maisa, that is the machlokes. The way that the Shulchan Aruch paskins in this case is like Rabbi Yossi, that as long as the bolt has a knob at the end of it, it has a status of a kli, it won't be a problem to put it in. Now we're going to qualify that in just a bit. Next, Mishnah. Nagar ha-nigrar, no'olim ba-migdash. We'll see now again some very interesting sugyas, right? Again, very interesting sugyas. So the Gemara says as follows. Nagar ha-nigrar, which is a bolt which drags. A bolt which drags. Says, look at Rashi, Nagar Nigra, Rashi says, Shekasher Bedelas. I'm about to say, now in this case over here, it's tied to the structure, it's tied to the wall, to the door, sorry. Aval Eno Talui, Shacheva Aruch, Umitok Shen Nigra, Eno Nira Kekasher, Ukishain Barosha Glusser Kamos. Listen to this case. Case of Nagar Nigra is like this. The bolt is tied to the door, but I will say it's a very long rope. So therefore what? The bolt lays on the ground. So it's attached. It lays on the ground. We'll say now, again, Rashi points out, as opposed to the last Mishnah, where there was a knob on the bolt, there's no knob in this case. See here, again, you have attachment, but the rope is very long, and therefore, the bolt lies on the ground. So what's talacha? So no limboba mikdash. We'll say you could use it in the base hamikdash, avaloba medina, but ultimately, again, not outside of the base hamikdash. Right? You could use it in the base hamikdash, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. So Rashi says, there in Olin Bo B'Mikdash, Jerry, Hashkacha, that mamish, you're standing right by, sitting right by the coastal. Mamish, first time we've had a sugya by, Jerry's learning daf by the coastal in Yerushalayim. So now, one, we have a first time of a mention of the Beis HaMikdash, right? I don't know if it's the first time mentioned in the entire Erevin, but pretty auspicious. Okay, good, you'll represent us all. So listen to this, Olin Bo B'Mikdash Olom Medina. So we'll say you could go ahead and close the door with it in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now we'll say, now what's the pshat? Look at Rashi, Nolden Bo B'Mikdash, Dishvus Ba'almahu. Now we'll say, listen to this. So let me read, I'll read Rashi, then I'll explain it. Dishvus Ba'almah, it's only a Dirabanan, De'ena Bona Mamish, Chol V'Kashr L'Kach, Elohol V'Nigrar Mikhsei Kibona, Ve'in Shvus Dirabanan B'Mikdash D'lo Gozish. Now we'll say, listen to this. So now, what's the problem with putting this bolt back into the threshold, put it back into the door? Both say, it's really not biblical. Why is it not a biblical act of bona, even though there's no knob on the bolt? Because remember, the bolt is attached. Remember, once you're attached, that's a pretty good indicator that you're already part of the structure. But yet, midrabanan, we're not happy with this attachment. Why? Because the bolt is dragging, right? Or I should say again, the rope is not taut, so therefore the bolt is on the ground. So listen to this. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you cannot put such a bolt like that back in your door, because midrabanan it will be usher, because it has the appearance of building. They will say there is a concept of ein shavus b'mikdash, which means isurim dirabanan do not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. A general principle. So therefore, the Gemara says something amazing. Nagar ha-nigrar, if you have a bolt that's dragging on the ground, so outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you can't use it because it's usher midrabanan. But there are no Isurei Dirabanan in the Mikdash, and therefore you could use such a bolt in the Beis HaMikdash. Incredible. Aval lo b'medina. V'amunach. Rabbi said, what about munach? Munach is a bolt that is not attached to the door at all. Rather, it's just lying on the ground. So therefore, again, Rabbi said, everyone agrees that putting that type of bolt back into the driveway is an act of binyan, is an act of building. Kan v'kan aser. Ultimately, it will be aser outside of the Beis HaMikdash and inside the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Huda says, Hamunach mutar b'mikdash. V'hanigra b'medina. Rabbi Huda disagrees. Rabbi Huda says that a munach, ultimately, again, even if the bolt is not attached and it's lying on the ground, you could put that back into the doorway in the Beis HaMikdash, because Rabbi Huda holds that even that act of putting an unattached bolt into the door, Bosai, is not binyan. It's not real building. It's only with the Rabbanon. And remember, again, Yisrei Rabbanon don't apply in the Beis HaMikdash. And Nigrar, the dragging bolt, ultimately, again, will be permitted outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So Bosai, so fundamental machlokes. Here we go. Tan Rabbanon, Ezehu Nagar HaNigrar, Shinol HaMikdash Shalom Medina. Bosai, what's the case of Nagar HaNigrar? Which also, again, remember, is the dragging bolt. So remember, again, the dragging bolt, let's clarify, is attached to the doorway, so there, it is attached, but lamaisa, again, obviously, it looks like it's just laying there on the ground, but it actually is attached. So now the Braisa says, what's the case of the dragging bolt that ultimately, again, is permitted in the Beis HaMikdash, but aser outside of the Beis HaMikdash? Kol shekashar vitaloi, any bolt that is tied to the door, vitaloi, it hangs there. Verosho echar magia la'aretz. And literally, again, I will say, at least one part of it touches the ground. So we'll say, so meaning the case of Nagar HaNigrar is where at least one side of that bolt is touching the ground. That's across all two sides of the bolt also. The point over here is it's not hanging off the ground. It's attached, but not hanging, not suspended. Rabbi Huda says, so we'll say, so that's the case according to the first approach in the Mishnah, according to the Tanakhama, Nagar HaNigrar will be aser outside of the Beis HaMikdash, mutter inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now again, remember, and in according to the Tanakhama, everybody agrees that munach, if it's not attached at all, will be aser even in the Mikdash. Rabbi Huda comes along and he says, no, munach is even mutter out in the Beis HaMikdash itself, and nigrar is mutter outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Huda says, af zebe medina mutter. No, that's not true. Nagar HaNigrar is mutter even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the case of a bolt which can be used inside of the Beis HaMikdash but not outside? So we'll say, if you have a bolt that is not tied, obviously not suspended, totally detached, to the point that what Rabbi say, when you're using it for the door, it's in the door. But you're not using it for the door, you mamish put it somewhere else. So we'll say it's totally detached from the doorway or from the threshold. In this case, Rabbi Huda will say that halacha lemaisa, you can use such a bolt like that in the Beis HaMikdash, because even using an unattached bolt, a detached bolt, is only aser midrabanan, but you cannot use it inside, you cannot use it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, furthermore, Am Rabbi Huda, Amar Shmuel, halacha ki Rabbi Huda bin Nigrar. And it was Rabbi Huda said, name of Shmuel, that the halacha follows Rabbi Huda in Nigrar. Now, also remember again, what's Rabbi Huda's shita in Nigrar? Rabbi Huda holds that Nigrar is mutter even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, I want to point out over here, and Rashi points this out as well. Well, look at Rashi. Halacha Rabbi Huda bin Nigrar, de mutter afilu bin Medina. Rabbi Huda holds Nagar HaNigrar, which means a bolt that is attached, but is on the ground, so it's not suspended, is mutter even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. He holds that's not even Asr Medir Abanon. Rashi says, avalo b'munach the shayla Rabbi Huda bin Mikdash, les hilchas hakavase, techevan sheno kasher sham binyon gamrhu, kishar negarim shet noatzim b'ksalim, v'abona koshu chayim malachim da reiselo, hutra mozim. So listen to this. So Rashi is pointing out that halacha follows Rabbi Huda b'nagar hanigrar. So we'll say in a dragging bolt, then halacha lemaisa, you could use that outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But munach, which is the case when the bolt is totally detached, Rashi points out the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Huda. Because we'll say the act of taking an unattached bolt and inserting that into the door or into the threshold on Shabbos could be a malacha d'oraisa, which will be aser bav binyan, which will be aser both in the Beis HaMikdash as well as b'medina. Amar Rava. So we'll say, so that's item number one. The Gemara just established the halacha follows Rabbi Huda, b'nagar hanigrar, and therefore the dragging bolt, which is attached, but is not suspended, rests on the ground, is going to be permitted both inside of the Beis HaMikdash as well as outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Next, Amar Rava, however, a couple of qualifications. V'husha kasha bedalas. So Rava says, but this is true only when, ultimately, when the bolt is tied to the door itself. Tied to the door itself. So when does Rabbi Yehuda say that, or when does the Gemara say that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda benagar hanigrar? Only when the bolt is attached mamish to the door. Ini, is that so? Baha Rabbi Tavla ikla lemechuza. Rabbi Tavla, that's his name. Rabbi Tavla went to Mechuza v'chaza lahahu dahu tali be'ivra didasha, and he saw a bolt that was tied ultimately. Again, I will say be'ivra didasha means the threshold. Right, the threshold, right, or the it could be the area. It could be a beam below the door or above the door. But one thing that it's not referring to is what the door, right? So Rabbi Tavla saw a bolt that was tied to a different part of the entrance and that was not the door. V'lo amrlu v'lo midi, and he didn't say anything. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that it appears that the bolt doesn't have to be attached to the door. Maybe all you need is for the bolt to be attached to some part of the entranceway. To which the Gemara says, no, hahu nita bi'igdo hava. That case was different. Why? Both said that was a case of a bolt that was tied with a very strong rope. The rope so strong that if you lifted up the bolt by the rope, ultimately, again, the rope would not snap. So both say, so it's possible in a case where the rope is so strong and it tethers the bolt to the structure in such a substantive, permanent way, in that case, even if the bolt is not tied to the door, but it's tied to some other part of the threshold, that's going to be okay. So we'll say, so another couple of qualifications. So it appears, so number one, Nagar HaNigrar is mutter even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's Aleph. Beis, ideally Nagar HaNigrar should be tied to the door. But apparently if it's not tied to the door, if it's tied to another part of the structure with a strong rope, that's going to be okay as well. Rav Avya Ikhl and Ardo. What's his name? Rav Avya went in Ardo. So he saw a man who tied the bolt to the structure with a reed. Amar din lo nitrok. Rashi says din lo nitrok. Ze lo yino sheino kasher de command less the game. So we'll say, so in this case, Rabbi Abia said you can't use that bolt on Shabbos. Why? Because we'll say that's not even a nagar hanigrar. Why not? Because it will say a reed is nothing, and that could snap easily. So halacha l'maaseh, in order for the bolt to be attached to the structure, it has to be tied with something substantive. If it's something that's going to snap relatively easily, then ultimately, again, the nagar is not considered attached to the structure. Bay Rabbi Zera, nikmas mahu. We'll say, what's the case of, so what's nikmas? Look at Rashi. Nikmas mahu, shenichnas hanagar b'chori sikufa, v'nifchas, What happens if you have a bolt that goes into the ground itself? So we'll say, remember again, up until now we're dealing with a bolt that really just attached the door to a threshold. What happens if the bolt goes into the ground itself? That's nikmas. I'm Rabbi Yosef, mighty boyle. I don't understand what exactly is the kasha. What's the kasha? Mighty Baile, lo shmiya leha desayin. Did you not hear that which learned in the following braisa? Nishmat aser, nikmas mutter. We'll say, look at Rashi, nishmat, nifsaka kevashu kasher bo, varim munach bekeren zavis. If you have a bolt that was attached by a rope, but the rope broke on Shabbos, you certainly can't put the bolt back into the door. However, nikmas mutter. We'll say ultimately again, if the bolt goes into the ground, then it's going to be mutter. Rabbi Huda says nikmas afa pi she'inu nishmat aser. And ultimately again, Rabbi Huda says if it's nikmas, even if it's not nishmat, it's going to be aser. Rabbi Huda said the name of Shmuel that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda in the case of nikmas. But taima mai, what's the reason? Amar Abaye mishum de mechse kibona. Because we'll say ultimately again with a bolt that goes actually into the ground, then ultimately that really does look like binyan, that really does look like building, and therefore it'll be problematic. Good. So we'll listen to this next case. Rav Nechumi bar Zechariah asked Abaye the following kasha. Asalo beis yad mahu. But it's an interesting case. What happens if you make a handle for your for the nagar, for the bolt. Look at Rashi. Asala beisyad l'nagar. So we'll say, what happens if you go out and you make a handle for the bolt? She'eno kasher klal v'tachav beisyad be'emsiso v'doma lemakeves tahashta v'adai muchadu deklihu malroa. So we'll say, we're going back a little bit. You remember how this discussion started? We started with a bolt that had a knob, right? And the reason we started there is because the shaila was, perhaps there's no problem putting that back into the door on Shabbos, even if it's not attached. Why? Because that is the status of a what? Of what? Of a kli. So now we're reverting back to that a little bit. What happens if the nagar, if the bolt has a handle? So we'll say, does the fact that it has a handle, by definition, identify it as a kli, which should then allow you to put it back and forth into the door, in reality, even if it's not attached to the door? Because we'll say, once it's a kli, therefore what? There's no binyan, right? That's the underlying message we're working over here. If something is a kli, then putting it back into, that's not called bona, that's not called binyan. So if it has a handle, does that make it a kli, and therefore obviate the concern of binyan? So the Gemara says, Amar lahu, buchna kamrit. So he said to him, well, if that's the case, that you have a bolt, ultimately, again, with a handle, that's called a pestle, right? They also say that's something you could use to grind up, so that definitely has the status of a kli. So the Gemara Rashi, Buchna Kamar Tavadai Shari, Buchna Makeves Akoshin Bochitin. They also say, right, that's a mortar, and like a mortar, right? The mortar, right? Or pestle, right? That's ultimately, again, something you use to go ahead and grind up things. If you have, right, if you could imagine, if you have a bolt with a handle, you could use it to crush stuff. Okay, so ultimately, that's a kli, and therefore, that wouldn't be a problem. Itmar, Amrav Nuchumi Barada, Asalabesiad Mutter. So Mosai, same idea. Nuchumi Barad says, if the bolt has a handle, it may be moved on Shabbos. In other words, it can be put back and forth into the structure. Hahu Sharisa, Dahavu Bei Rabbi Pedas, Dahavu Madlu Bei Asra. We'll say, we're getting to a very interesting sugya. There was a Sharisa. We'll say, what's Sharisa? So Rashi says, Korah, a large beam. Rashi says, so the Gemara says, there was a very large beam that was in the home of Rabbi Pedas. It took 10 people to move it. First wide line, kuf beis and aleph. And what would happen, Rabbi Pedas? In the house of Rabbi Pedas, 10 people would lift up the beam. They would put it by the door for security measures. Right? Set night, I guess they'd go to sleep. They'd put the large beam by the door. And Rabbi Pedas didn't say anything. Rabbi Pedas, now be pashtos, such a beam like this should be muktzah, right? What do you do? A beam is used for binyan, for building. So the pashtos, why are they allowed to move it on Shabbos? And your Rabbi Pedas didn't see anything to them. To which the Gemara says, Toras kli aleha. He didn't see anything because ultimately, again, that beam has the status of a kli. Why does that status? Rashi says, because you could use it as a bench. You could sit on it. So because it's possible to sit on it, therefore halach l'maisi, it has status of a utensil. If it has the status of a utensil, it's not muktzah. Incredible. Hahu asisa dahavi bei mar Shmuel. Tava machzekes adibra. So we'll say, similar idea. There was a very large mortar that was in the house of mar Shmuel that ultimately, again, held an incredible amount. Rashi says over here, Adriba lesechitin chatzikor. It held half a core, so it was a very large mortar. Shari mar Shmuel mishdi adasha. And again, same idea. Shmuel permitted people to move it and put it by the doorway to block the door as a security measure. So the Gemara says, why? So the Gemara says, Amar Torah kli aleha. Same idea. The large beam is not moktzah because it has the status of a kli. Why does it have the status of a kli? Because it can be used as a bench. So we'll say, again, not directly related ultimately to what we said before, because before then we were talking about the issue vis-a-vis binyan. But again, once we started on that topic, we're discussing now about moving of items that have the appearance of being used for binyan. But again, since they ultimately can be repurposed as a bench, therefore there's no moktzah and movement was permitted. Shalach le Rami bar Yecheskel Rav Amram. Neimar lanmar mehalin midi mal yasa da amratan mishmei Rav Asi. B'kipi da arba. So we'll say fascinating sugya. So listen to this. Rami bar Yecheskel sent to Rav Amram, tell me some good stuff that you learned from Rav Asi when it comes to the arches of a boat. Now, both say, let's take a look at Rashi for just a moment. What do you mean the arches of the boat? Look at Rashi. Kipi da'arba. So Rashi says over here, Ulmos sha'osim b'svina, shenolin ke'en ma'aglin shekorin sarko, rosha echa b'dofen shazetvina, v'rosha sheni b'dofen zeh, v'kavar. Both say, let me explain this to you for just a moment. So what used to happen is as follows. They would have boats. The boats would have like these, they call it archways, right? So essentially the boat would have a frame on top of it, right? What would you do with the frame? So you would put like sheets or material, canvas or something over the frame so as to create shade when you were transporting something, transporting items, or just when a person was on the boat. So the boat itself had the frame, but the cover was a removable cover. So listen to this, I will say, Shalach le, Ravasi said, "Hani kipi da'arba." So I will say these archways of the boat. Bizman sheish ban tefach. If the archways, I will say if each arch is actually a tefach wide. Inami ein ban tefach ve'ein bein zelazesh shlosha. I will say, or even if each archway is not a tefach wide, but there's less than three tefachim in between each archway. But say, what happens if there's less than three tefachim in between each archway? Right, lavud. Then what? Listen to this. L'machar mevi machatzelus upori salehen. Ultimately, we'll say, just want to point out to you, what's the shaila? We'll say, so imagine for a moment, my boat is in dry dock. Right? My boat is in dry dock. I decide, you know what? I'd love to have Shabbos lunch on the boat. Who doesn't want to have Shabbos lunch on a boat? So we'll say, so what happens? I go to my boat. It's very sunny. So what do I want to do? What do I want to do? I want to take out my cover, and I want to go ahead and spread it over the archways. And we'll say, what's the potential issue involved over here? Oh, hell. You can't build a structure. You can't build a tent. You can't build a structure on Shabbos. You can't, by the way, even build an impermanent structure on Shabbos. So listen to this. So Rabbi says, now the Gemara says, well, it depends. If the archways of the boats themselves, if each archway is at least a tefach wide, or even if it's not a tefach wide, but they're less than three tefach, Rabbi says, then what? Then that boat is already considered to be an ohel arai. Rabbi says, the definition of an impermanent structure is one that has a roof that is at least one tefach wide. Once you already have that, well, let's see. So therefore, again, Rabbi says, the Gemara says, you're going to have an incredible halacha l'maisa component. So if the archways themselves are at least a tefach wide, or if halacha l'maisa, the archways themselves are less than three tefachim away from each other, therefore there is lavud. What's the halacha, Rabbi saying? The halacha is, l'machar maybe machatzelis, the next day on Shabbos you could bring the sheet, or whatever, you know, the that's a better word for sheet. The canopy. Good, thank you. You can bring the canopy. Upores alein, and you can spread it over the archways. My time, what's the reason? Mosif al ohel arayhu v'shapir dami. Bose, listen to this. The halacha is, you may not create an ohel arayhu, an impermanent structure on Shabbos, but if one is already there, then what? Then what? You are permitted to add on to it. What's the definition of an impermanent structure, ohel arai? Something that has a roof space of at least a tefach. As long as it has at least a roof space of a tefach wide, you could add on to that. So as long as the archways themselves are at least a tefach wide, or again, if they're not a tefach wide, but they're within three tefachim of each other, ultimately you could add on to it. You could put on the canopy on Shabbos. Incredible. Hano dichri, the both say there were these sheep that belonged to Rav Huna. To be a mama bautula, by day they needed shade because of the sun. But at night, the fresh air was good for them. Bless you. Also, they came before Rav. So I'll say, so remember, again, this came up ultimately again on Shabbos. So the Shaila Rav Osei is, remember, so at night, Shabbos night, there was no canopy over the sheep. But by day, they want to put the canopy back. So can they put the canopy back over the sheep on Shabbos? So also, Zil Kuroch Bodja, Vishayir Bei Tepach. Here's what you do. Before Shabbos starts, and you want it, because remember, at night, they want the canopy open, roll up the canopy, but leave at least one tefach of the canopy extended. L'machar pashtei umosif al ol arayhu v'shapridam. And then tomorrow, as long as there is already one tefach of canopy open at the onset of Shabbos, there's no problem to go ahead and roll out the rest of the canopy. So we'll say, so by the way, this has incredible halakha l'maisa ramifications, right? For strollers. I will say on a technical level, if a person has a stroller, the baby in a stroller, so to extending the canopy all the way is a problem of building Ohel Arai. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So the Rabbah say, if you do that, that's Mamish Ohel Arai. Again, it's an Issur D'Rabbanan. But if the canopy is open, at least the Tefach, at the onset of Shabbos, then there's absolutely no problem with extending it or even taking it back any further. And both say, that's not from the Sugya. Ohel Arai, you can't create an Ohel Arai on Shabbos. But if an Ohel Arai already existed prior to the onset of Shabbos, extending it or detracting from it is not problematic. Incredible. Amar Rav Nishum Rabbi Chiyo. Vilon mutul in toso mutul farko b'Shabbos. So let's listen to this. A vilon is just a curtain. There's no problem with putting up a curtain and taking down a curtain on Shabbos. So the owners will say that a curtain doesn't have the status of an ohel arai. So because of that, again, there's no problem. Kilas chasanim. So it's like kilas chasanim is a canopy bed. That was, and I understand their canopy beds are probably a little bit different. They call it a bridal canopy. It's different than the way you're thinking about it. Like today, a canopy bed, I think, right, is like you have four posts and there's a canopy over it. That wasn't your type of canopy bed. They had two posts, one situated in the middle by the head and one situated by the middle by the feet. And ultimately, again, the canopy came down like a tent. So we'll say, so the kilas chasanim is not a problem. Rashi says, I'm sorry, let's just look at the word. Kilas chasanim mutu farko ulintosu b'shabbos. You could put up, you could take down a kilas chasanim. We'll say, why? It's always the same idea. Because since there is no tefach, a flat roof, that's not even called an ohel arai. Well, so this is halacha l'maisa, that ultimately, again, anything, only time something is an ohel arai is to have at least one tefach, a flat roof space. Because the kilas chasanim comes to a point, there is no tefach, a flat roof, safe roof space, therefore there's no problem putting it up and taking it down. Rashi says over here, Rashi says, not yet, sorry. Yeah, kilas chasanim. I should love oil. Mipnei she'ein lagag lamala rochav tefach. Mipnei shehu nesuna b'shipua v'hi yuriya sheparson sav lemit aliyashin. So we'll say again, because there is no rooftop of a tefach, therefore it's not a problem. The Yisrael says, Amar Rav Sheshes Brei Dravidi, Lor Amar Ela she'ein begag tefach. Okay, we'll say when can you put up and take down all of these structures? When halacha l'maisa there is no at least one tefach, a flat roof. Aval yesh begag tefach, but if there is a tefach, a flat roof space, aser. V'chi ein begag tefach, furthermore, again, when we say that if there's not roof space of a tefach, that is mutter, lor amran ela she'ein bepachos mishlosha samoch legag tefach. Both say that's also if what? That's also, even if there's one tefach of space, within three tefachim of the top of the roof, that's also problematic. So both say you could see, we're getting mamish to the end over here. This is picture 360, at least in my last picture we have. So we'll say, remember, we've already established that halacha lemaisa, if there's a tefach at the top of the space, it's really problematic. Now the Gemara is adding in, by the way, even if there's one tefach of space, of airspace, right, interior space, within three tefachim of the top of the bed, that's also problematic. So we'll say a little bit of a new definition of ohel arai. One tefach of space at the top, but even if you have one tefach of space, interior space, within three tefachim of the top, that's also problematic. So the Gemara says, v'chi ein bepachos mishlosh samach lagag lo amrans. Furthermore, again, I will say, if you don't have a tefach of interior space within three tefachim to the top, that's also only problematic. Ela b'she'ein amud beis, b'she'ein b'shipua tefach. I will say, that's only if the slope itself doesn't accumulate the area of a tefach. But again, if the slope goes in such a way that the slope creates an interior space of one tefach, that's also problematic. But Amar Rav Shish Brei Dravidi says, Saina Shari. Saina is permitted. We'll say, what's Saina? We'll say, very interesting. Rashi says, Kova Shalavad Shekorin Paltri Mutras Yisrael Shabbos. We'll say, felt hat. You can wear a felt hat on Shabbos. Aye, the Gemara says, really? Vatanya Aser. We'll say, ultimately, again, we saw that a felt hat is us. And we'll say, now, what is going on over here? What could be wrong with the hat? We'll say, everything depends on how large the brim is. If the brim is more than a tefach, then ultimately, you know, we'll say, that is the status of an ohel arai, of an impermanent structure. Right? An impermanent structure. We'll say, therefore, that could be problematic. I don't understand, really? So if you put something over your head that's a tefach, that suddenly becomes an ohel arai. So tell me, if you're wearing a coat or you're wearing a cloak and you pull your cloak over your head so that it extends over your head, right? You have a hood. Yeah, the hood. Right? Also, for that matter, again, you know, if you ever tried to wear the hood of your sheni coat without a hat, right? So we'll say, so again, so right, so that means again, so if I have a hood that extends over my head, a tefach, that's an ohel arai. To which the Gemara says, Elokasha, hadene hadik, hadelo me hadik. To which the Gemara says, here's the distinction. We'll say, look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Elohadene hadik, v'tayma lo mishum uhal. Russell, you're right. The issue with the felt hat is actually not an issue of ohel arai. Rather, Elo dilma nafal mirei, sheve asila asuye. We'll say, the felt hat was a Masech Shabbos issue that comes up with items that you're not allowed to wear out of concern that they're going to fall off. And you may come to carry it. So when the Braisa says you can't wear a felt hat, what it means is you can't wear a hat that doesn't fit you well. Because then there's a concern that what's going to happen, it's going to blow off and you're going to come to carry it. But if the hat fits you well, ultimately, again, there is no problem to wear it on Shabbos. And Abu Sa'id, again, once something has the status of a malbush, of an article of clothing, then it cannot become an ohel arai. Good. So we'll say ultimately, Elokasha hadim hadik hadalo mehadik. Good. Rashi says, Hilcha ki mehadik v'kasha beretzua tacha savaro shavla asar. We'll say, it's interesting enough, the way they wore their felt hat was that it had like a little string that came beneath the chin as well, a chin strap. So once it was well fitting and it was you know, embedded on the head, then Allah lamais, that's not a problem. Good. I'll say, really, a fascinating. So again, just point out that suya of all arai is clearly very halacha lamais for us as well. Next. Mishnah, machzirin tzira tachton or mikdash avalohu medina. So we'll listen to this. You could, we'll say a tzir is a pivot, right? A pivot in the door. So listen to this. You can go ahead and put back in the bottom pivot of a door in the base of mikdash, but avalohu medina, but not outside of the base of mikdash. So we'll say it's interesting. There's no picture. I think they got a little lazy at the end of Erevin. I think we're, because there's like, you're going to see, like, there's a couple of things that pictures would have actually been very helpful for. Think they ran out of juice. See, Baruch Hashem, it's very valid. They ran out of steam by the end of the Masechta. No more pictures for the last couple of blocks. But all right, machzirin sir hatachton mikdash avalohu medina. You could put back in the bottom pivot of a door in the Beis Hamikdash, but not outside of the Beis Hamikdash. Look at Rashi, machzirin sir hatachton. I both say this is dafka the bottom pivot. You'll see why there's a distinction. Look at Rashi, shel delas chalon shida teva mikdash. I both say. Remember, this is a door of anything. This could be a door, ultimately, again, like an entranceway. It could also be they had pivots on. They had, remember, for the shutters of windows, they also had these type of pivots, or even like in a chest, or even in a chest or in a trunk. Or migdal she pischeya mitzdehen the tziar tachton kozman shlo yotza elyon noach lags yivein kamir. Let's listen to this. The way the let's deal with like a door of a structure, just to keep it easy. So apparently the way it used to work is like this: you'd have an upper pivot and a lower pivot. As long as the upper pivot was in place, even if the lower pivot got a little dislodged, it was easy to bump back in, and it would not compromise the usage of the door. So what the Gemara is saying is like this. If the bottom pivot gets dislodged in the base, so to put that back in is really only an Issa D'Rabbanan. There's no binyan, there's no bona there. So mostly because it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, and as we said before, Issurei D'Rabbanan do not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, knocking that pivot back in the Beis HaMikdash is mutter. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash will be asur. V'alo b'medina. V'alyon, but I will say if the upper pivot gets dislodged, then I will say what? Kan v'kan asur. Then ultimately, again, putting it back in, both in the Mikdash and the Medina will be asur. Because again, based on what we said before, that halacha l'maaseh, Rashi says, the chevan sheyatzeh elyon kulo nofel. We'll say, when the upper pivot comes out of the door, it renders the door almost unusable. Right? So we'll say, therefore, again, the act of putting the upper pivot back in place, that's really bone midaraisa. That's real binyan. So once you're dealing with daraisas, you can't do it in the Beis HaMikdash or outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda says, Ha'elyon b'mikdash v'atachom dinos. So also Rabbi Huda says that halacha l'maisa, the Elyon is permitted in the Beis HaMikdash, and the tachlon is permitted in the Medina. Okay, so let's analyze. Tanarabana, we'll say, here we go. Tzir delas shida umigdal. So we'll say, if you have the pivot, again, delas is like the door to an entranceway. Shida teva migdal is literally, again, a tower, a chest, a dresser. So what's that locha? But mikdash machzirin, in the base of mikdash, you can knock it back in. Bimedina dochakin. So we'll say, in the base of mikdash, you could mamish return the pivot to its place. In the Medina, the Braisa says over here, dochakin. Now we'll say, dochakin means that as long as the bottom pivot has not come out fully, you could kind of push it back into place. Va'oyon, but the upper pivot, kan v'kan lo yachzir. The upper pivot, Rabbi Osei, if it comes out, whether it's in the Mikdash or the Medina, is going to be totally yasser, because Rabbi Osei, putting the upper pivot back into the threshold, ultimately, again, has the status of bona. Gzeira shema yitaka. Oh, I'm sorry. Ba'alim kan v'kan lo yachzer gzeira shema yitaka. Because Rabbi Osei, the concern then is, your mamish going to bang it back into place, right? You're going to go ahead and really embed it firmly, and that could be a real issue of bona. And indeed, Bosei, if the upper pivot got dislodged and you banged it back into place, halacha l'maisa, it is an iser daraisa. Chayiv chatos, shal bor v'shal dos shal yitzia. And Bosei, what if we're talking about over here the pivot of a doorway that covered a pit or a cistern, or yitzia is literally an annex. Lo yachzir. Ultimately, again, you should not really return that pivot to place. Ve'im hechzer chayiv chatos. And if you did so, ultimately, again, you'd be chayav bechatos. Good. Rabbi Osei, so it's an interesting distinction between upper pivot, lower pivot, Beis HaMikdash, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah. Rabbi Osei, fascinating sugya now. Machzir in retia b'mikdash havalom medina. Rabbi Osei, listen to this case. Now, we're transitioning a little bit, totally new topic. So retia, Rabbi Osei, look at Rashi. Rashi in Mishnah, Rabbi Osei, it's in the intermediate wide lines, second line in. Machzir in retia, we need this introduction. Kohen shalaka biyado, v'nasan alei aretim v'odom. So here's the case. A Kohen got an injury. Friday, Kohen gets injury on his hand. So what does he do? He puts on a bandage on top of the injury. Right? V'hutzrach ravod avodah b'shabbos or b'yomtiv. Rabbi Osei, and I remember, now, come Shabbos or Yomtiv, he has to do the avodah. It's got to turn the base on Mikdosh. V'nato retia me'al yado. Rabbi Osei, the halacha is, when a Kohen does the avodah, there could be no chatzitza between his hand on his hand. So therefore, if a Kohen cannot do the avodah with a bandage on his hand. So what happens? He gets injured Friday afternoon, or Friday, whatever it is, puts on the bandage, comes Shabbos, he wants to do the avodah, he takes the bandage off in order to be able to do the avodah appropriately. So what happens? So Shalote, Rashi says, Shalote chotzetes, beino uben yado le'avodah. De chatzitza posela esma, de bo'inun v'loka ha-Kohen. De kevon de chayetz lo'havi l'kicha b'Kohen. So Rabbi Osei, so now what happened over here? So the passage is the lakach ha-kohen, the kohen has to take, and in order for it to be a taking by the kohen, it has to be the kohen's hand without any chatzitza. So good. So he takes off the bandage on Shabbos in order to be able to do the avodah. Now what happens? Rabbi Osei, now what happens after he does the avodah? He finishes the avodah. It's 10 o'clock Shabbos morning. What does he want to do? He wants to put the bandage back on. So look at Rashi. So machzira b'mikdash. Ultimately, again, we allow him to put the bandage back on in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, why is this? Says Rashi. De'ilo sharusei lachzir lo shakile mi'yada o memana v'lo avid avoda. So let's listen to this, because what are we concerned about? If we don't allow the Kohen to put the bandage back on, I will say, what may happen? He may not take it off to begin with, and I'll end up doing the avoda in a possible. So this is actually an incredible thing. A Kohen is not going to miss out on doing the avoda. He's just not. He's not going to give up doing the avoda. So what are we concerned about? So if you make him choose between going ahead and taking off the bandage and the avoda, and he can't put the bandage back on, he'll just do the avoda with the bandage on, which of course is problematic. The Gemara says, "Lo shakil mi." I'm sorry. Behaving the chayza, the ishar say lachzira, the lo. Because if we don't allow him to go ahead and take it off and put it back on, lo shakil mi ade, or memanav lo avad avoda. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. So we'll say. So what are we concerned about? We're concerned about that if we don't let him take it off, he's not going to end up doing the avoda. We'll see a different gears than the Gemara. He's not going to come to do the avoda, and therefore, in order, then Rashi says, "Vize echad mishlosha torah hamur b'maseches beya shut yourself mishum tchilas." Therefore, we'll say, in order that we don't want the coin to refrain from doing the avodah, therefore we allow him to put the bandage back on Shabbos. Now we'll say, we'll see exactly what the issue with putting the bandage back on. So let's go back to the Mishnah. Machzirin retia b'mikdash avalov medina. We'll say, if you take a bandage off on Shabbos, if you did in the Beis HaMikdash, you're allowed to put it back on. But if you took a bandage off outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you are not permitted to put it back on. Rashi says, avalov b'medina. So listen to this. Rashi says over here, what's the concern with the bandage? So we'll say, whenever you put on a bandage, you never just put on a bandage. What else do you put on? What else? An ointment of some sort. Well, the act of smoothing out an ointment on Shabbos is the malacha of memachek. Memachik Rav Ose means smoothing out a substance or smoothing out an item. Sefer Rav Ose, that's the issue over here. So in the Beis Hamikdash, the Gemara says we're going to let the Kohen put it back on, because if we don't let him put it back on, he's not going to come to do the Avodah. But outside of the Beis Hamikdash, if you took your bandage off, you may not put the bandage back on Shabbos. However, in Bitchila, Rav Ose, what happens if a person goes ahead and puts a bandage on for the first time on Shabbos, and then ultimately again, they take it off, then halacha lamaisa kan v'kan aser. Ultimately, we'll say, if you put it on for this, remember, all of this discussion is you put a bandage on before Shabbos. Now you want to go ahead and take it off on Shabbos. Can you put it back on Shabbos? In the Mikdash, you can. Outside of the Beis Hamikdash, you can't. However, in Betchila, Rashi says over in Betchila, Shalah Haisek Shirim Be'od Yom. So we'll say, this is a case where the bandage was not on the Erev Shabbos. I put it on Shabbos itself. Kan V'kan Aser, Rashi says, V'hacha Lekka L'meimar Ein Shavos V'Mikdash T'havadai Hai Shavos Lav Zohar Kavo Ezra Chazos. Fine, so we'll say, we'll explain this in the Gemara. So Halacha L'meisa, if you put on the bandage for the first time on Shabbos, both in the Mikdash, as well as outside of the Beis Hamikdash, if you took it off, you may not put it back on. So we'll say, so bottom line, if you had a bandage on before Shabbos, if the Kohen takes it off on Shabbos, you can put it back on. But outside of the Beis Hamikdash, if you take the bandage off, you may not put it back on. What's the concern? The concern is memachik, smoothing out the ointment. Says the Gemara. Tan Rabbana, here we go. Ritia sheper shemei agabe maka. So let's listen to this. If you have a bandage that fell off, so I put a bandage on Erev Shabbos, and on Shabbos, the bandage falls off. So what's the halacha? Machzirin b'Shabbos. So the Braisa says, you're allowed to go ahead and put the bandage back on Shabbos. Rashi points out why. Machzirin. It's uncommon for bandages to fall off, and therefore, halacha l'mais, you're permitted to go ahead and put it back on Shabbos. So the Rabbi Huda, says, hochla kalamata, doch kalamala. We'll say, what about in the following case? Let's say the bandage doesn't fall off, but the bandage slides. So if the bandage, says Rabbi Huda, if the bandage slid down, you could push it back up. Lamala, doch kalamata. Or ultimately, again, if the bandage slides up, you could push it back down. So Rabbi Huda holds it, we'll say, if the bandage falls off, it seems to be that you can't put it back on. But if the bandage just slides around, you are permitted to readjust it. So we'll say, furthermore, what else can you do? This is very interesting. What you could also do on Shabbos is as follows. You could lift up part of the bandage in order to do like a little bit of wound care, right? You could lift up part of the bandage in order to clean off the top of the wound. But you must remember again, the idea over here is you lift up one end of the bandage, right? So we'll say what you could do is you could lift up part of the bandage at a time, and each time you lift up part of the bandage, clean part of the wound. But what's the idea? We'll say, what am I not doing over here? I'm not moving the bandage in totality, right? Because once you take off the bandage, then halacha l'maisa, there's a problem being able to put it back on. But I will say, ultimately, again, the bandage itself, you should not wipe off. Because I will say, the act of wiping off the bandage, which we would be removing off the ointment, that would be an act of smoothing out. And if you did went ahead and you did an act of smoothing, then einachinami, ultimately again, you would be chayiv v'chatos. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm Rav Shmuel. So Rabbi says name Shmuel. Alach Rav Yehuda. The Alach of Rav Yehuda. We'll say namely that again, that if a bandage slides, you could readjust it. I'm Rav Chista lo shana elo shapir shagabe kli. So we'll say, you know, actually, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up with Emir Tzashem this Amrav Yehuda, that the Alach HaFal is Rav Yehuda tomorrow. We'll say, but understand, this discussion, of course, lagabe bandages, also have incredible halacha l'maisa ramifications. In our session, we'll see the halacha l'maisa tomorrow. We'll say shikoyach.